As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wendy Glick, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. Welcome to Issues 2022.
Again, right? Thank you very much for having me.
Again, you announced your retirement a few weeks ago. What is the timeline on that? When are you going to finally walk out the door?
Yeah, I'm not leaving real quickly. Maybe to some people's angst, but I will step down as the full-time executive director at the end of the year, and then the hope is that my replacement will be able to begin sometime early in 2023, hopefully in January, and we'll stay on board for a couple of weeks to do a real thorough onboarding. As you can imagine, Catholic Charities is a pretty complicated organization, and it's that transfer of knowledge is going to take a little bit of time. And then if that new executive director will have me, the board has agreed to keep me on for about 6 more months after that, probably a title similar to Director of Special Projects. And I'll just do some strategic research about we need a new strategic plan coming up. We need to look at some of our programs and ministries and see, you know, where those gaps are and whether those programs are still needed or whether we need to consider adding new programs. So I hope to be able to stay involved into 2023, but if everybody thinks that things are good and I don't need to be around, I won't be offended.
Well, kind of a gradual getting out of Dodge there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
What went into your decision to do this, Wendy?
Yeah, so I'm just at that age. I'll be 65 in August of 2023. I've been at this working in the social service field for 25 years. Started in late 1998 at Catholic Charities, actually, as the volunteer coordinator, and then moved over to the Lord's Diner in 2002, first as the volunteer coordinator, and then moved into the executive director role. And so I was there for nearly 10 years and then came back to Catholic Charities in 2011, first as the director of development, so doing fundraising, and then moved into the executive director role in 2016. And so I've had a good run. I'm really proud of the work that has happened both at the Lord's Diner and at Catholic Charities since I've been involved. And really, we are in just a great position here at Catholic Charities. Our financial situation is solid. Our staffing, that's always going to be a challenge, particularly in this current labor market, but we've got really, really talented people in management positions that I'm confident are going to stay through the transition. And it just feels like it's the right time. You know, you know, God kind of whispers in your ear when it's time either to move on to a new challenge or just to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's kind of the message I've been hearing for a while.
Now, what did you do before you got into Catholic Charities and this?
Yeah, we had a family business. Usually just tell people it was the entertainment business, but my family owned two roller skating rinks here in Wichita, and my husband and I ran them for about 15 years, got out of the skating business in 1996, and just kind of did the stay-at-home mom thing with my kiddos for a while before transitioning into social service again in 1998. So a lot of experience in customer service type work, which is very similar to operating social service programs. You're serving clients and trying to meet their needs, a different kind of need in social service than at Skate East or Skate South, but certainly still that customer service element is a common thread through both of my career paths.
Let's talk about Catholic Charities now for a minute. What is the mission statement of Catholic Charities?
Yeah, so I utilize our tagline, and that is sharing God's love by caring for all people. Our mission statement's a little fancier language about infusing faith through the service that we provide through the community. I can't even say it right. The tagline's a little simpler and easier for people to embrace and just really hone in on. And that's what we try to do in all of our programs or ministries, as we call them internally, is we are a faith-based organization. We are grounded in Catholic social teaching, and we want to share God's love. And we want to do that not by preaching, but by showing folks God's love through the work that we do. And so that's what I want folks to feel when they walk into any one of our program sites, is to really feel that compassion, that human dignity piece that is present in any institution, or should be, that is faith-based. And that's our why. And then our what and our how is specific to the different ministries, whether it be our domestic violence shelter, our homeless shelter, our food pantry, our adult daycare facility, our counseling program. Again, we are such a complex organization with so many different threads and avenues of how we're helping people.
Now, that answered my next four questions, Wendy, so this interview may be short. How many employees do you have working for Catholic Charities then?
We have 120 employees. About 100 of them are full-time, and then about 20 are part-time or PRNs. Those would be the folks that, again, we operate two shelters, and those are 24/7 facilities. And so it takes a lot of people to make sure that they're properly staffed nights and weekends. Mm-hmm. And it varies from program to program how many staff there are, but total about 120.
But you do employ volunteers, is that correct?
We do. We utilize volunteers in all of our programs. We really rely on volunteers at our Daily Bread food pantry, which is our client choice model food pantry, where we distribute food to those in need, really no questions asked. We gather some documentation and some data that we have to report on a monthly basis to the Kansas Food Bank Warehouse, which is where we get a lot of our food. But we don't have any kind of financial screenings or expectations as far as folks being able to be served. We serve between 12 and 13,000 people out of our daily bread annually and have one staff person. So we really, really rely on volunteers there. But we utilize volunteers throughout all of our ministries. So I think it's important to say, as we're talking about staff and about volunteers and about our clients, is even though Catholic is in our name, Catholic Charities, we serve people of all faiths or even people with no faith. And the 80-20 rule plays out every year in how we measure our employees. 80% are not Catholic, 20% are, and the same thing with our clients. 80% are not Catholic and 20% are, and that's certainly not a metric that, you have to be Catholic in order to be served or to do the serving. We're very, very ecumenical in being inviting to individuals to get involved.
How many people will Catholic Charities impact in a year? You talked about the food program, but all in all, we've got all these different ministries. How many people total do you think you contact in a year?
Yeah, in my time here as executive director over the last 6 years, we've fluctuated from a low point of about 12,000 annually, and that's unduplicated, up to during the pandemic, we had one of our biggest years ever, which was about 22,000. A lot of those, again, came through our food ministry, so our food pantry, because there was such a need for food support. So it's somewhat cyclical, and it depends on our economy. We're a little nervous going into 2023 with inflation the way that it is. We're starting to see our numbers climb at the food pantry. We're starting to see the demand for mental health services, which we do behavioral health counseling at our Cana Counseling Program. So the numbers there are going up. Unfortunately, at Harbor House, our domestic violence shelter, the numbers there have never gone down. They always stay full at Harbor House. And in fact, since the pandemic, we are seeing more severe cases of domestic violence, which is necessitating those who come into shelter to stay a little bit longer because it takes them longer to get through the trauma process and then to find permanent housing. So we're really anticipating bigger numbers in the upcoming year and at the same time concerned about philanthropic dollars, which is a third of our $10 million budget, because everybody is being affected by inflation. And regardless of which income level you're in, low, middle, or high, you may not be able to be as generous to organizations like us because you just don't have as much of that disposable income.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wendy Glick, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. I want to have you tell us about your several agencies. Again, let's just start off with a description of Harbor House, what it is exactly you do at Harbor House.
Yeah, Harbor House has been open since 1992. It is a domestic violence shelter. So it is a confidential location, and individuals can call our hotline and do a screening to determine whether they need to come into shelter for their safety. That number is 316-263-6000. And we shelter folks. We help find them employment. We help find them permanent housing. But Harbor House is much more than just a house. We also have programs where we do outreach. Shelter is not always what every domestic violence survivor or victim needs. Sometimes they have support systems in the way of families that they can get out of the dangerous situation and stay with a family member, but they still need the counseling. They still need the wraparound services, possibly to find permanent housing, access better jobs, just get a driver's license or some sort of ID, because a lot of times that information is kept by the abuser, and when the victim leaves the abusive situation, many times they leave with literally nothing but the clothes on their back. Most often those who come with children. About 50% of those that we serve in shelter at Harbor House have kiddos, and we also work with the kids. We have a children's counselor and an adult counselor to help them work through that trauma. So both internally and externally, we serve about 300 annually a year inside shelter, but another 1,800 in our outreach program.
So what is St. Anthony's Family Shelter then?
It is a shelter for homeless families. In our community, we have several homeless shelters. Salvation Army operates one, Union Rescue operates one, Humankind operates one. What sets St. Anthony Family Shelter apart from those shelters is it's specifically for families. So you can be a single parent with kids, you can be a couple with children, either a single mom or a single dad with kids. But the common denominator is you can't come into St. Anthony Family Shelter unless you're homeless with children. And it's constructed specifically to offer a dignified, respectful type of stay. We have suites with a living area, a sleeping area, and a private bathroom for each one of the families while they're in shelter. They work with a case manager the minute they walk in the door to begin looking for permanent housing and to address any of the barriers that they might have, whether it's an eviction or just past utility costs, bills, and things that they need to pay in order to get into permanent housing. So a pretty intense program. Unlike Harbor House, which the average length of stay at Harbor House is anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, at Anthony, it's designed to be a 30-day program. So they're working hard the minute they walk in that door to address those barriers and to get back into permanent housing.
Tell us about our daily bread.
Yeah, we are so proud of our daily bread. We have been doing, operating a food pantry almost since the beginning of Catholic Charities time, and we'll celebrate our 80th anniversary working here in the Diocese of Wichita next year. It is a pantry, again, as I mentioned earlier, that serves people without having any kind of financial expectation or screening, not, you know, irregardless of what their income is. And we're proud of the model. It is a client choice model, which is our daily bread is the only pantry in our community that operates a 100% client choice model. And what that means is when you come in, you register and have to show proof of how many people are in your family. And then based on that, you get to shop in our pantry, and you get to select the items that your family will eat, and the number of items is based on your family size. The frequency that you can come is one time a month, and usually the food parcels are enough food for anywhere from 3 to 4 days for that entire family. So not a whole lot of food, but it helps folks meet ends meet. A lot of seniors that come that are living on Social Security or a limited income come to our daily bread. And as I mentioned, one staff person, so we need a lot of volunteers there. We have about 60 ongoing volunteers there, but we're always signing up more.
What is veteran peer support, Wendy?
Yeah, we have a federal grant for serving homeless veterans. It's supportive services for veteran families. We've had it for a number of years, and we work in collaboration with the VA and help identify homeless veterans within all 25 counties of our diocese. We work a lot here in the Wichita area, but we also have an office down in Pittsburgh, Kansas, that does homeless prevention, and we work with veterans even driven down in southeast Kansas, and pretty intensive case management. We have in that staff both a housing navigator and a health navigator, because so many times what gets in the way of a veteran having permanent housing is to be able to access health resources and take care of both their physical health and their mental health. And so we work with veterans, again, to get them into permanent housing and off the streets.
And tell us about adult day service.
Yeah, that is a program we've been doing, adult day services, since 1979. Two populations are served in there, adults with disabilities. So it can be a physical disability or a mental disability of some sort. And then seniors with early stages of either Alzheimer's or dementia. We, in the last 2 years, found a new facility for it. As I said, we've been doing it since 1979 in small ways, moving from facility to facility because we kept outgrowing the space. And finally, in 2019, found a former elementary school that had been being used as the law enforcement training center, but the police and sheriff training moved out to a location over at WSU, and the building was vacant. So we purchased it from USD 259, and we were able to do fundraising. We raised about $6 million, and were able to renovate it to really meet the needs of the program participants that we serve in there. We are up, when we moved in, we had about 50 to 60 ongoing program participants. We've grown that program since April of 2021 when we moved in there, and we're up to about 125 program participants. It's open 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 7:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and part of the services that we provide is transportation for an additional fee, as well as breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon snack. And we take the program participants out into the community on outings, and we do lots of enrichment activities there within the facility to help just enrich the lives of those with disabilities. A couple of weeks ago, the enrichment week was around learning about dinosaurs. So they did some really fun things, watched some dinosaur movies, did some dinosaur arts and crafts, created a volcano, and, you know, using Coca-Cola and those Mentos, made that volcano explode, and they just really, really had a great time. So a lot of fun activities go on there, and it's just a really fun place for families to be able to take their loved ones and know that they're taken good care of during the day, so that the family members can be out working and leading great lives on their own without worrying about caring for their loved ones.
What's the biggest challenge facing Catholic Charities, Wendy?
I think money is always a concern. I think it is for every not-for-profit. And again, as I mentioned earlier, looking at the current economy and worrying about how that funding is going to come in order to be able to continue doing those ministries. I don't say that we really have a worry as far as keeping us up at night, but we are very intentional about, you know, are we doing the right things for our community and the communities in which we serve? We don't want to try and duplicate any other services that some of the other not-for-profits are doing in town, but we certainly want to try and meet the needs. So a part of our challenges is to always be trying to do some investigation, and I, as a leader, have always tried to make data-driven decisions. And what are those numbers out there? What are those unmet needs? Or, folks in social service are really good at starting programs, but really hesitant to close a program. We want to be all things to all people, and that's not always the best thing. And so how can we really be intentional about using our donor gifts and the financial resources that we have to really meet those big, daunting challenges in our community, particularly for those who are marginalized.
Almost out of time. You've dedicated a good part of your life to charities and helping people. Why?
It's a very selfish reason. It makes me feel good about who I am. I think my purpose has always been to serve. I told somebody the other day when I was transitioning from being in the entertainment business at the roller rinks and getting into social service, I did a lot of prayer and reflection and asked God to lead me into my next big thing. And I certainly didn't hear God say, you need to go to Catholic Charities. But I did hear God say to me, in order to be happy, you need to serve. You need to serve others. And so in all of my roles in the last 25 years, that has been my why. My why is to serve and to try to help others. And even in retirement, although I won't do serving in necessarily an institutional type environment like I've done for the last 25 years, I think I still have some serving left in me.
Listen, thanks for doing this for so many interviews over the years. Thanks for your service to our community. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope we can talk again sometime in the future.
I look forward to it. Thanks for the opportunity, Steve.
Our guest, Wendy Glick, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. That's all for this edition of Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.